Well, this morning, I want to conclude what it is that we had been talking about for several weeks prior to Easter, when we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, what you find in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about the gifts that he gives us as Christians, as believers, to be able to encourage each other and to be able to battle against Satan and against the enemy. And this morning we're going to be talking about something that may make some of you a little bit nervous. I don't want you to get nervous. I want you to understand and I want you to know. Because this morning we're going to be talking very specifically about the spirit realm. Something that exists very much. How do I know that? Because the Word tells me it's there. This is the bottom line of everything that we say and do. And you've heard me say that so many times, but nothing that we talk about here will ever be outside of what the Word of God says. And so this morning we're talking about the Spirit, and specifically the last gift of the nine, which is the ability to be able to distinguish between spirits. I am of the belief that this is, and I know that Paul tells us we don't set them up to be one more important than the other, so I don't want to say that. But this is an absolutely vital gift. And I want to tell you why. Because at all times, there are three distinct active spirits that are operating around us at all times. The first one is the spirit of man. This is the spirit that God created in each and every one of us. We all have spirit within us. We are actually a triune being. We are body, we are mind, and we are spirit. And sometimes mind, you put different things in, and that's fine. But the spirit is a very distinct element of who we are created to be. Each of us are created with spirit, and it's active at all times. The second spirit that's constantly active is the spirit of God. And within the spirit of God is also the angelic hosts that operate within that realm. The third one, as you might imagine, is the spirit of evil. And within that spirit of evil is the demonic host that is created. Now, let me make sure we understand something, and you've heard me say this before. Satan is crafty. He's not creative. And I say that because Satan is a created being. He is not omniscient. He does not have the power of God. He is not the opposite of God. Why? Because the opposite of something equates equality. It's different. It's the opposite. So the opposite of something at this side would be something over on this side, but they're going to be equal. Satan's not the equal of God. Satan is a created being, a former angel, one of the archangels, who decided that he wanted to be as important as God was. That was Satan's downfall. He was known as what? And when he was in heaven before he fell, what was he known as? What was his name? Lucifer, right. So it was Michael, it was Gabriel, it was Lucifer. Those were the three archangels. Now I know it's hard to say that name Lucifer in the same breath as the other names, but he was, by all accounts, most scholars believe by what the scripture says, he was the worship leader of heaven. Oh my, what a place to be given. The Bible says that he was beautiful in his appearance. And when you consider that, it's easy to see why he is so deceptive. It's easy to see why he can get people to do things that they would not normally do, because he's able to show himself for what he is not. And I want to talk to you about that. So since the spiritual gifts are given to us, as Paul says, to encourage, to exhort, and to edify the church, Satan will always attempt to pervert those things by, now watch, introducing counterfeit gifts. Counterfeit. In order for something to be a good counterfeit, it has to look like the original. Does that make sense? So if I go to the giant food store and I come up there with a couple, three big carts of food, and the lady says that's $300. I'm saying this because Katarina and I went shopping here the other day and got to the thing and we went, when it was time to be done. But if she says I need $300 and I give her three pieces of paper with the words $100 written across each of them, before she calls security, she's going to be laughing at me, because three pieces of paper with my writing on them don't look anything like the real thing, do they? So if If a counterfeit's going to be effective, it has to look like the real thing, but it's not. And that's why within the church, it is so important for us to be able to distinguish what the spirits are. Is it man? Is it God? Is it Satan? We have to know which of the three it is that we're dealing with. Churches have been destroyed by false gifts, being allowed to operate throughout the church because of a lack of discernment. Churches have been destroyed by this. It is critical. It's even eternally important that there is the ability within our church to be able to tell which of those three that is operating. Now, let me make sure we understand something again. And I said this just briefly earlier, but it's so critical. Every spirit is under God's headship. Every spirit. So the spirit of man, we are under God's headship. We were created by God to serve him. But even people that will not acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that doesn't change the fact that they're still under God's headship. It also means that a demonic spirit is still under God's headship, and it must obey the word of God. And watch this. When we do this under God's authority, in Jesus' name, they have to listen to us too. They have to. When we do it in his name. I had a situation occur in my life. It's the only time it ever happened. But boy, do I remember it. I was about 14 or 15 years old. How many of you recognize the name Andre Crouch? You recognize that a lot, some of you? Yeah. Phenomenal singer. Oh, my goodness. He wrote a biography, and I was reading it as a kid. I'm 15, 16 years old. And he writes in there about a time when he was being harassed by demonic spirits. I'd never had this happen to me before. I didn't even really truly understand it, to be honest. I was raised in a Baptist church. We didn't talk about demons in the Baptist church that I went to. Okay, and that's okay. So it took me a little longer before I got a chance to learn about what those things meant. But I was lying in bed, and I was sound asleep, and it must have been 2 or 3 in the morning, and I came instantly awake. And I had such a weighted darkness on top of me that I couldn't even describe. And so I laid there for a moment, and I thought, obviously I'm dreaming. I wasn't dreaming. I was fully aware of everything that was going on around me. But there was such a presence laying on me, and it terrified and locked me. I couldn't move. The only thing I could do, the only thing I could think to say was one thing. What do you think it was? Jesus. I just said, Jesus. I didn't even know what to say. I had no experience with this. But I knew that the Bible said that every knee shall bow, just like we sang this morning, every tongue confess, every knee shall bow, that Jesus Christ is Lord. All I could say was, Jesus. Jesus, help me. And as I said his name, it left. I got up. I turned the light on. I'm looking around. I'm going, that was not funny. Who was that? Are my brothers pulling a prank on me? It wasn't any of those things. And I realized later that I had had an encounter with a demonic spirit. Part of the problem is that we are being desensitized to those things right now. And I'm going to talk more about that in a couple of minutes, and I may upset a few of you. That's okay. That's not my intent. But I have to be faithful to what the Word of God says. I'll come to that. So everything that we have, everything is under the headship of God. Now, let me tell you what the discerning of spirits is, so that you know this is what discerning of spirits means. Why do we have to do this? Here's what it is. It enables a believer, and a distinguishing of spirits is only available to a believer, as is all the gifts. You must be a believer in Jesus Christ to have those gifts operating in you to be of God. If something else is happening, if those kinds of things are happening, they're not of God, and we need to be aware of that. But the discerning of spirits enables a believer to distinguish or determine through spiritual insight. That's important. It's through spiritual insight. The motivating spirit behind certain words or deeds or activities that are taking place. Specifically, here's what it is. Is the origin God? Is the origin human? Or is the origin demonic? That's what a discerning of spirits enables us to do. What is it that's going on here? Because Satan wants to bring counterfeit. He wants us to look and to listen and to believe things that are not of God. So if that's what the discerning of spirits is, what's a spirit? Because we probably should identify that as well, to make sure we understand what is it that when Paul's talking about spirits in the Word, what is a spirit? It is a living personality. Let me say that again. It's a living personality that is without physical form, but is still active among us. Now, this is the part where we need to make sure that we're clear on what it is that we're talking about and what it is not. As I've said to you before, you cannot swing, I was going to say a dead cat, but that would be kind of redundant to what I'm about to say. You can't look anywhere without seeing a movie or a television show or a book or something that has to do with the dead, the demonic, zombies, vampires, all these things that all have to do with the dead. My friends, we have got to be so careful. We've got to be more than careful. We have got to keep those things out of our lives completely. And I want you to understand why. As I said to you before, the spirit of evil is not omnipotent, but it is crafty. It's clever. We are right now, we are experiencing an all-out assault on the church led by Hollywood to confuse, desensitize, and enamor us with the things of the demonic world. That's the whole purpose of all of those things. And it's aimed primarily at our children and our young people. Does that bother anybody else? Every time I see this, who are the ones that are going to these movies? Who are the ones that are dealing with all of these things, playing these games, buying these books about teenage witches? My God! All of these things are purposefully designed to bring us in the church to the place where we look at these things and we think it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's reading it. Everybody goes to these movies. Look, it's the most popular show on television, Walking Dead. Why is that an issue? Because the Word of God tells us that we are not in any way to try to attempt to communicate or to have anything to do with the dead. And so when people say to me, well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, so if I go to a seance, which can I encourage you, don't you dare set one foot near anything like that. Don't get anywhere near those things. But when we begin to talk about these things, people begin to say, well, wait, it's not such a big deal. So if somebody calls up and it's the spirit of my grandmother, you mean that's evil? Yes, it is. Do you believe in ghosts, Pastor Dave? Not in the sense of what we see on television every day. No. Do I believe that they're real? Yes. Do I believe they're the ghosts and the spirits of our departed? No. What are they? They're demonic spirits that are coming to bring confusion and to bring fear into our lives. Say, Pastor Dave, aren't you overstating this? No, I'm not. I'm not. Why? Because when we allow those things to become a part of our lives, we have now opened a door that Satan can bring every single sin and evil into our lives. And that's what brings us to places where we go, oh my gosh, how did I get here? That's how you got there, because you opened a door. And the Bible tells us don't have anything to do with those things. Remember, you can probably remember this story. Remember Saul? King Saul. What he did? He got a little antsy. God wasn't coming when he said he was going to, so he went, fine, I'll take care of this. I'll go raise the spirit of Samuel. And I'll talk to him myself. And so you remember what he does. Who's he go to? Does he go to another prophet? Who's he go to? Goes to a witch. Now, I can guarantee you, Saul at some point later was going, what in the world was I thinking? I know you've never done this. But I found myself in this position a few times, probably in this posture. What in the world was I thinking? And that's what Saul did. And he asked this witch to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. Now, the Bible tells us that Samuel's spirit actually came. Why? Because God allowed it to happen. That's why. Because who was the most terrified and shocked out of anybody in that room when it actually happened? The witch was. Oh my gosh, this stuff works. Because prior to that, she had been conjuring up demonic spirits to do the things that she wanted to have done. God actually allowed Samuel to come. But Samuel said, you have done a horrible thing here. This is a horrible thing that you have done, and you're going to pay for it with your life. And see, today, we find ourselves getting pulled so easily into the things that are so contrary to the word because culture accepts it. My friends, we're not driven by culture. We don't allow culture to dictate the things that we do. We do what the word of God tells us. And he tells us, stay away from those things. Can I encourage you in the strongest sense I possibly can, in love, have nothing to do with seances, have nothing to do with astrology, have nothing to do with mediums, have nothing to do with palm reading, have nothing to do with Ouija boards, those kinds of things. Now again, we make those out to be games and just nice and easy and fun things. My friends, they're not. They are exceptionally, incredibly dangerous to our very hearts and to our very spirits. That's why we need to know the difference between them. Can I also encourage you one other thing? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Spirit of God will always bring comfort and peace to a believer. Always. The spirit of the enemy will always bring fear and confusion. Always. It's how we can tell sometimes who that is. All right, where am I here? You got me all off track. Where am I? Okay. Here's what Satan deals with. Here's what Satan does. He comes in several different forms to us. Now, I said to you, he's smart. He's not creative, but he's smart. Satan is never going to send somebody to our church and go, how you doing? Satan sent me. I'm here to tear up your church. You're never going to hear that. Why? Because if somebody came in like that, if there was very obviously someone came into our church who was here to try to destroy us, we would recognize that right away. It'd be like my phony $100 bills. They wouldn't even get in the door. And we'd go, oh, wait a minute. That's why I got my man Big Derek here. Derek's my man at the door. All right. But here's what Satan does. He takes the things of God and he twists them. He turns them. It's the same word that we use for wicker. You know the word wicker? That means a twisting and a twining together. It's also where the word Wiccan comes from. It's a twisting, it's a perverting. The things of God are always going to bring peace and comfort to us. And so when someone comes to this place, we always want to make sure that we know that whatever it is that's coming is of God. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. I want to tell you. God doesn't allow us to just twist in the wind. He gives us a plan. He gives us a way to be able to understand these things. And the gift to be able to discern spirits, the discerning of spirits, is not about our own insight. It's not about what we perceive. Remember when I read you the definition before? I said it's done through the gifting of the Holy Spirit. It isn't about what I see or what I feel. And the greatest danger to somebody that has the gift of discerning spirits is that we begin to set ourselves up, if we're not careful, as a judge over people. That in and of itself can be just as dangerous. If we allow that gift to somehow occupy this place of, well, we're not doing anything until you pass through the discerner of gifts. We don't pass through anybody. There is nobody that gets set up over anybody else. We are doing this together. But that gift of being able to discern the Spirit becomes so important in order for us to be able to understand what it is that God wants to do. And so the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, when we read about, says all of those gifts, they're all of important measure, all given to us for the purpose of edifying and exhorting the church, all according to what God wants us to do. So the ability to be able to discern spirits is much less about what we see happening and much more about what the Spirit is telling us. Let me say that again. It's much less about the things that we see happening, because there may be some things that are going to occur in the Spirit that may make you a little bit uncomfortable. Why? I've never seen this before. What's going on? I got to tell you, the first time that I heard somebody give a prophetic word, I was going, what's going on up here? You know, who is this guy? Well, like he's in the middle of the service. Are they supposed to just get up and start talking? What's going on? I wasn't afraid. But I was certainly going, what's this about? If I had only kept my eyes on that person, I would have missed what it was that God had wanted to say. Because the things of God are not about us outside. It's about what's going on inside of us. That's why we have to watch. So what's the ultimate purpose of the discerning of spirits? Why do we need to do this? Well, it's to answer this question. Is what is being done truthful or is it deceptive? Is it of truth, which is of God, or is it of deception, which is of the enemy? And here's the thing that's hardest for us, my friends. We're the ones that are in the middle. The spirit of man is in the middle of this. Because we were created by God in perfection. Did you know that our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmother, they were perfect? Adam and Eve were created in perfection. The Bible says there was no sin in them. They were perfect. How do I know that? Because they got to walk and talk with God face to face. Can I just say a non-pastoral thing for a second? How cool would that be? My goodness. They were able to walk with God. But then sin comes in. And we have separation from God. We can no longer be face to face with him, but when he sent Jesus to die for us, he reclaimed us as his own because the final debt was paid for that sin. But in that time until we're with him again, we are the ones, the spirit of man is in the midst of the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan, and they are battling for our souls. The Bible tells us that it's a war that's going on. And that's why we need to know these things. That's why we talk about the demonic in this church. Not to give it places of authority, not to give it more. I'm convinced. Let me tell you something I'm convinced about. When we know all things when we get to heaven, because the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we're going to know everything. We get the mind to know all of it. We are going to look at Satan for the first time revealed in all of who he is. And here's what we're going to say. I'm convinced. That's it? That's it? This is what I was so worked up about? This is what I thought was such a big deal? I'm convinced of that. But we talk about these things because we need to know the plans of the enemy. Anytime a nation or an army has ever gone to war, the first thing they do before they even attack is they send men out to spy and to get information. They need to know what's going on in the other camp. My friends, I want us to know what's going on in the other camp. I don't want us to fixate on it. We're not going to study those things and become so learned. No, we just want to know, what is it that Satan wants to do so that when it comes, I'm not surprised. I don't get caught off guard. I want to know. How many times have you said, man, I never even saw it coming. I want us to see it coming. I want us to be aware so that we can stand, as Paul says, then in everything else, stand for him. Let me start to finish this. Let me tell you one other thing that we have to be careful of, because these things get very muddied. There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. Now that may rock some theology here, because that is a very easy phrase that in charismatic churches, we use it pretty constantly. There is no such thing as a gift of discernment. The Bible does not share that. It does not state there's a gift of discernment. The discernment is about dealing with spirits, not about discerning people. Discernment is not about people. There are people within the church that have prophetic giftings. There are those that have the gift of a seer to be able to see things that take place. There are even those that are very sensitive in the spirit, meaning that they can just tell when God's moving, and those are all very important. But there's no gift of discernment. Because when we embrace something like that, then suddenly the thing that I'm discerning is not a spirit, I'm discerning a person. And that's never, ever what took place. Let me show you what happens in the scripture. A couple of things. In Isaiah 6:1, Isaiah says this. He says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. How was Isaiah able to do that? Because he discerned the spirits. He discerned the spirit that was happening. In his writing in the book of Revelation, John, who was the only disciple of the 12 who was not martyred, he's an old man living on the Isle of Patmos. He was actually exiled there. And he wrote the book of Revelation when he was there. And one of the things he said was that he was able to see the Holy Spirit as seven spirits at the throne of God. How? Because God gave him an ability to see into the spirit, to discern in the spirit. But now watch what happens when you're dealing with people. And we see this demonstrated twice. Acts 16:16-19, here's what happens. Paul recognizes or rebukes or drives out a demonic spirit of a girl. And if you read the story, it's an interesting one because this was a little slave girl that had been possessed and she was able to do divination. In other words, she was able to foretell the future. And the guy that owned her was making some good coin off of her. He was charging people. Come here, you can talk to my little slave girl. She'll tell your fortune. You give me money and go on your way. Bible says Paul listened to that for a while and then it irritated him. I like that. It irritated him. We should get irritated, I think, from time to time about the things that Satan does in the lives of our family and in the lives of our children. We need to get irritated about that. And the Bible says that Paul addressed the spirit and told it to leave the girl. It's very important. He didn't talk to the girl. He talked to the spirit. Because it wasn't the little girls that was doing this. It was the spirit that was within her. Jesus, on a couple of different occasions, did the exact same thing. It says he recognized the demonic influence that was in that person's life, and he commanded the spirit to come out of that person. Can I encourage us with something this morning? Because we are asking God to bring people to this church who need him. Need him. We all need him. But we're asking God to bring people that are struggling with things. You know, it can get kind of difficult sometimes when you're dealing with that kind of a situation. It can get sloppy. It can get messy. We are never, ever, ever going to address a person. We're going to deal with the spirits that are influencing. We have got to guard the people that God sends here. That's what Jesus did. He didn't rebuke the person. He rebuked the spirit that was harassing the person. We've always got to make sure that we care for the people that God brings. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to discern spirits? What is it that we should be looking at? First and foremost, and you've heard me say this so many times, is it in the Word of God? It always comes back to His Word. This is the final authority on everything. On everything. And I want us to be careful, and this is where I may upset some people, but that's okay. I got the microphone. And plus, I'm bigger than almost all of you, so almost. We have to be very careful about the things that we embrace as being of God for the simple reason that they are spectacular or they're fun or they're exciting. And here's what I'm talking about. There have been a lot of manifestations that have shown themselves in churches and a lot, primarily in the charismatic church and charismatic activities, where things have taken place that people get all excited about. And they say it's the power of God, it's the presence of God, and there's nothing in the scripture to back up what it is they're saying. Let me just give you one example. There have been a number of reports, and they persist and they continue, about the appearance of gold dust on people in services. Have you ever heard of that before? Some of you have. And the people that do this, and it's usually the guy up front, or the lady up front, that when they're preaching and teaching that suddenly they feel there's gold dust on them, and they take this and they say, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit on me. It's the presentation of God. It's His power. My friends, there's not one word about that in the Scripture. It's not of God. It can't be. We have got to be careful about allowing parlor tricks and sensational excitement to be something that we embrace when it is not a part of the Word of God. That's the first step of discerning of spirits. And there are all kinds of things that have taken place in all kinds of meetings and all kinds of revivals that have left the Word of God and begun to embrace the things of man and sometimes allowing the things of Satan to come in. Why? Because he wants to pervert it. And unless we're discerning what it is that's going on, we're going to allow those things to come in, and we take our eyes off of the things of God and put them on ourselves. Now, am I saying all of those people and all of those things are wrong and evil? No. No, I'm not. There have been a lot of wonderful things that God has been able to do in a lot of those big revivals and the different activities, but there's some other things in there that don't belong. How do I know? Because they're not in the Word of God. That's all we need to do, folks, is just what does the Word of God say? That's the most important thing. The second question we ask when we're discerning is, what's going on give glory to God, or does it bring attention to the person? Does it give glory to God, or does it bring attention to the person? I've seen some revival meetings, where people were running full speed around the place, screaming at the top of their lungs, barking like dogs, doing all kinds of guttural animal noises, all under the authority and the presence of the Holy Spirit. No, they're not. Does the Bible ever talk anybody talking about here about anybody barking like a dog or roaring like a lion? Where's the only time you see roaring like a lion? Who's it in reference to? It's in reference to Satan. Roaring like a lion. It's in reference to Satan, not to God. God is the Lion of Judah, but he doesn't go around roaring in places. That's what the Bible says Satan does. Roaring, prowling, looking for who he might what? Devour. My friends, we've got to know what the Word of God says. We have to know what it says. And am I suggesting that we know everything perfectly here? Not in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm simply saying is we have got to be aware of the plans of the enemy. So is what's going on drawing more attention to the person, or is it giving glory to God? And here's the last one. With what's going on, what's the impact on the church? What's it doing to the people? That's another way you can tell and discern. The things of God are going to bring joy and excitement and peace and comfort. They'll edify us. They'll exhort us. They'll bring us to a place where we feel closer to Him. Or is what's going on something that's bringing fear? Is it bringing confusion? Is it bringing division? I can't tell you the number of churches that have been divided by the gifts of the Spirit. Divided. Sometimes it's because there are those people that don't want to embrace them. I understand that. I feel bad for them because they're missing out on just wonderful things that God wants to give them. But there are also many times that the gifts of the Spirit have come into churches and they've been used incorrectly. And not always on purpose. The people mean well, but someplace they allowed the enemy to come and to bring a twisting of the gift. You've got to have somebody that can discern the spirits. We have to be aware and wise of those things. So let me tell you what we're going to do at Remnant Life Church, and then I'm done. At Remnant Life Church, we will seek to discern every word spoken to this church and every gift witnessed through the authority of God's word and through those that are appointed to lead this church. I have a responsibility to you as the pastor of this church. It is, if I think about it too long, it's overwhelming and terrifying, but it's the one that God's given me. And so I can promise you that part of my responsibility is to help protect you from the things that Satan wants to do. Am I going to get it right every time? No, I'm not. I'm fallible. I'm going to make lots of mistakes. That's why we do this together. That's why we're family, why we hold one another, why we pray for one another. But we're going to test everything that comes. We will not allow someone to come and give counsel or direction to this church without prayer, consideration, and discernment. Paul writes and says, who is it that judges the prophets? Who judges the prophetic word? Other prophets. Others with the same gift. And so when someone comes to this church, I will not allow them, first of all, to ever stand behind this pulpit unless I know them intimately. If anybody ever preaches for me, and I promise you someday you're going to get to listen to somebody else. I promise. Some of you are going, you got to have to unchain him from that thing. Is he ever going to let anybody else preach? Yes, I'm going to let other people preach. But I can promise you, if they're standing behind a pulpit in this church, they're solid. They're solid. They're going to be people that know God. They're going to be people that are right before God. At Remnant Life, we will not allow the appearance of a person to sway our wisdom or our desire to care for and guard one another. We're not going to let someone's appearance. You can get people that come in. I have seen some of the flashiest, best-dressed, most articulate, coolest people in the world, and they were twisted. The word that they gave was not of God. How many times on television have you seen all of these men and women that they do a little bit of digging into what's going on, and they find out something's not right here? And it's not. Appearance means nothing. We don't care what a person looks like. They could be the most articulate person and walk in and go, wow, they could be rich. They could help our church. I don't want them here if it's not of God. That's the only thing that matters is what's on the inside. And then lastly, we will be bold in our desire for the things of the Spirit, but we will always embrace the caution of wisdom. We will always use wisdom. My friends, God has got great things in store for this church. Great things. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. It does not necessarily mean that we're going to be a church of 10,000 people. That's not success in the kingdom of God. Numbers have nothing to do with the kingdom. What we want to do here is to be available to what it is God wants to do. We want to see hearts changed and healed. I want to see marriages brought back together. I want to see bodies healed of infirmity. I want to see minds be made right. I want to see people come back into a relationship with Jesus like they first had when they came to know him as their Lord and Savior. Ever met anybody like that? I've always heard it said, man, this guy, he just got saved and he hasn't gotten over it yet. I want to get back to that. I want us to be not over it yet, so that we're just so excited about knowing him as our Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be successful in the kingdom, to have an impact in our communities, to have an impact in our families and in our homes. I want everything that God wants for this church. I want every one of those 9 gifts to be operating fully in this church in his time, in accordance with what he wants for us. My question is, are we a church that's going to allow that to happen? Not just from here, but more importantly, from you. Are you going to be asking God for gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you going to be asking him to fill you with his presence? The first thing you have to do is you have to have a personal relationship with him. And if you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I want you to do that today, first thing. Because when you do that, you are now part of a family that is eternal. You're a part of a family that is going to be victorious. The Bible tells us in the end day, even though we're battling right now with Satan, and it's going to get worse, I don't want to be a harbinger of doom for you, but I think if you've read the Bible at all, you know it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse in the things of the world. The church needs to continue to grow and to strengthen through all of that as well. That's why we learn. That's why we study these things. Amen? Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. And God, I just thank you for the gifts that you've given us. God, you've blessed us with these gifts in order to be able to stand strong in our lives in the battle. Lord, we acknowledge today that it's not a battle against flesh and blood. The scripture tells us it's not against people that we battle. It's against the principalities of darkness. It's against those things that want us to be selfish. It's against those things that want us to look away from you and look to ourselves. But Father, each of these gifts that we have looked at over these last couple of months, you have blessed us by giving them to us so that we can be strong, encourage one another, learn more about you, and be able to do battle every day, fully confident in the fact that we will be victorious because of you, because of your love and your power in us. I pray, God, if there is anybody here this morning that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that this would be the hour that they would surrender their lives to you and invite you to be Lord of their lives. Father, I pray protection over each and every one of us. Protect this church. But Father, don't allow us to pull in like a turtle. God, we don't want to just be just us. We want to reach out to our communities, to our families, everywhere that we go, to share your love with each and every person we come in contact with. Bless everyone here, God. Bless them as they go. Watch over them. Keep them safe. All of those that we're praying for, Father, again, just bless and be with them right now, we ask. All of these things, we pray this to the Father. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful week this week. Hug some next.